All right. Good morning, everybody. I want to thank each one of you for being out this morning to worship God, to serve Him, and to praise Him for all the things that He's done for us. It's always a humbling experience to be able to get up here and speak before you. Not because I enjoy getting up here, but it's a way to impart knowledge and impart growth in your faith. And I hope I'm capable of doing that today. But it's also a humbling experience because I'm gathered together with people who want to grow in Christ. You made a conscious decision to show up today in order to grow in your faith. Unless you're a child and was forced to be here this morning, each one of you came of your own effort. And that right there is encouraging. So I want to thank each one of you for being out and making that effort to be here. While some of you may not have expected for me to be up here, and hopefully none of y'all were expecting Randy, that's the only reason y'all came, but unfortunately you got me this morning. But my goal today is to help you grow in your faith, to help you grow in your knowledge and understanding of what God has done for us and the way that we are to live. And I hope I'm able to do that this morning. The one thing that everyone should be here for is not just to partake of the remembrance of our Savior. Yes, that is what we are here to do this morning, but it's more than that. It's more than just being here to remember our Savior and His death. Yes, that is an important aspect of it. It's more than just praising the Lord, being able to sing songs of praise to His name, and yes, He's worthy of those things. Yes, He's worthy of our praise and our devotion and our faith and obedience to Him. But we're also here to grow as individuals, because we all know that life here on earth is not easy. Life here on earth takes some meditation. It takes some concentration. It takes faith and obedience in order to be able to be faithful to Him. But hopefully, we're all here to grow spiritually. And I hope that's what you're here to do today, is to grow spiritually and to grow in your knowledge in Him. Everyone can grow in knowledge and faith, and hopefully we're not. That's what we're trying to do today. Hopefully you're not at the understanding where you think, well, I'm good off. I'm good where I am. My faith is good. My knowledge is good. I know the Bible. I'm here every Sunday, every Wednesday. I hope that's not where you're at. I hope you are striving to grow in your faith and knowledge. And with that being said, there are two ways for us to grow spiritually. The first way is in that book that I have right here. The first way for us to grow spiritually is for this book to be read by us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to increase your faith, you go to this book. And this book imparts wisdom on how we can know our Creator, how we can know the One who has done magnificent things for us, and yes, He has done that, but it also tells us how to pray, which is the second important aspect of growing spiritually, making spiritual maturity. And this morning, I'm going to give you a layout for prayer. A layout for prayer. How often does life bog us down? We're caught up in school, caught up at work, caught up. We've got TV with 365 channels. All these things catch up to us. And we feel like we don't have time, that our time is constricted. Between all of this, taking care of the kids, all these extracurricular activities, hobbies, or whatever it may be, we feel bogged down with time. How often do we feel that we don't have that time? How often do the things in life, these worldly things, restrict us from being faithful to God, from having a spiritual relationship with God? Unfortunately, it's a lot more than it should. Unfortunately, we spend a lot more time watching TV, watching television, whatever it is, watching movies, than we do spending time speaking with the Lord, getting to know God. So can we have a proper relationship with God with everything else that seems to be taking up our time? Take, for instance, David as just a couple examples. David was a man who was very overwhelmed with work. David was a man, he was a warrior, a king, a composer, but he was also a conqueror. In other words, he had a lot on his plate. David had a lot of things to do. David still had his shortcomings and difficulties. He committed murder with Uriah when he became overwhelmed with desire by the flesh he had. He had a son who resented him. He was chased by Saul, who wanted David dead. He had to reunite the 12 tribes of Israel when they broke off. David stayed busy in life, yet he maintained that relationship with God. Every time you read one of David's Psalms, you think, wow, that is a spiritually minded man. That is a man that I want to pray like. That is a man whose prayers I want to center my life around. Because he spends so much detail, so much focus, and he has that spiritual meaning behind his prayers. Why are our prayers not at that same level as David's? Is it because of the TV? Is it because of the work? Is it because of the school that our prayers aren't, or at least we feel like they aren't, to that quality and that quantity that David was at? David still had that strong spiritual relationship. He spent much time in prayer and meditation. And if you want to look at a couple of his prayers that were very deep, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, Psalm 63, verse 6, Psalm 143, verse 5, all of these go to show that David spent much time in meditation and prayer in God. Even when he had this busy life, David managed to maintain that spiritual relationship in prayer and meditation. Look at Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, and we'll just take a quick look at that real quick. Psalm 1 verse 2. Psalm 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Again, another example, Psalm 63 verse 6. Psalm 63 verse 6. Verse 6 says, when I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. David spent time meditating and in prayer. So every one of David's Psalms has this deep, intricate meaning. And how often do we read these Psalms and feel, why can't I have my prayers like that? Why can't my prayers be like the ones that David prays? And Jesus was also a man who was a very busy man, yet maintained his spiritual mind, remained spiritually minded. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest of griefs, Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men. He knew his own fate before he even came to this earth. He was abandoned in his time of need by his closest friends, the apostles. He was killed in one of the most horrific ways. Jesus still remained sinless, though. He still remained that spiritual purity. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. He was pure. He remained sinless. Jesus still maintained a spiritual relationship. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 5, verse 16. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus spent time in prayer. Prayer is going to be an important part in maintaining that relationship with God. Unlike the Israelites in Exodus, who didn't have that direct access to God, we now have direct access to God. We now have the capability of giving our prayers and God hearing our prayers. And those prayers are a fragrant aroma before His throne. I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of passages this morning on how to pray, why it's important to pray, or anything like that. That's not going to be the goal of this morning. This morning, I'm going to give you some steps in order to increase prayer in your life and the way to pray effectively. And I feel very confident in this prayer, and I guarantee you, if you go home and start applying these techniques today, you're going to go home and become more spiritually minded. Your faith is going to increase if you are able to take and willing to take these steps for prayer. This prayer plan, this strategy for prayer, it's not a good plan. It's really not even a great plan. This strategy for prayer, this prayer plan, is perfect. 100% absolute guarantee that if you use this plan, you're going to be successful in your prayer life. So our approach to prayer. Sometimes we become all caught up in this world. How often at the end of the day do you realize you have not prayed? You get home from work. You get home from school. Whatever it is. You get home and you realize, I haven't talked to God today. I haven't spoken to my father. Now, how often on the other end of the spectrum do you actually call your parents and talk to them? How often do you call your wife or children, whoever it may be, and speak with them on a daily basis? Speaking with God is an important thing for us to do. Sometimes the approach that we have is not right to prayer. We forget to pray. We don't pray enough. We pray, but we feel like the quality is lacking. We pray, but we feel like our words are not enough. Each one of these problems can be fixed with this strategy I'm about to give you. This plan is created in order for us to have that appropriate relationship with our King and our Creator. We must have a daily prayer plan for us to be successful in our prayers, in our daily prayers. This plan needs to be consistent. This plan needs to be concise. This is something we're going to do habitually. We're going to do this every single day. This plan is something that we can do each and every day. This plan has to be clear, it has to be concise, and this plan has to be memorable. The strategy behind this plan is going to be to make clear and concise so that we can remember it, and it will become easy for us to do it each and every day. So the strategy for this prayer, while this prayer is going to be perfect, the strategy is flawless. It's top notch. There's nothing better, nothing greater than this plan. And I hope that in a few months that I have been a member here, that nobody's going to go running out the door now that I've told you all of this. This plan that has been laid out is perfect. It's top notch. So I hope that you're going to continue to listen to me throughout the remainder of this lesson so that I can prove my case, so that I can show you how perfect this plan is. So instinctively, I know each and every one of you in this room are going to try to challenge this plan. Each and every one of you in this room are going to try to go verse by verse, each and every prayer verse you know, and you're going to try to challenge this plan that I give you. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to take this prayer strategy, and I encourage you to hold it to the Word of God. Hold it up by this word right here. Don't just take this because I'm the one that's saying this. Hold it up against the Word of God and make sure it's true. And if you find any verses that you find this plan to be inaccurate to, I would encourage you and entreat you as a brother and sister in Christ, come to me after services and speak with me. Because our prayer life is important. So, here is the first part of our prayer plan. We got to have a schedule. So, beginning of the day, you are going to start your day with prayer. Every morning, make it a ritual to speak with God. And before we go any further with this, we need to understand how we pray. Prayer doesn't just mean we have to go in a corner, fold our hands, close our eyes, and pray certain words. That is not how prayer works. Prayer is an avenue of speaking with God. And if you can point to a verse that tells you, well, you got to go over there in that corner, you got to go in your closet, and you got to fold your hands and close your eyes. If you can point out that verse to me, I would love to hear it. But prayer, and we see examples of this throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, can be done in various ways. Prayer can be done with your eyes open. It can be done with them closed. It can be done while you're sitting down, standing up, kneeling, laying in bed. Prayer can be done virtually anywhere, any time of the day. It is open to you 24/7. So, we're going to start our day with prayer. This may be before you even touch the ground, before you get out of bed, you pray to God. This may be while you're taking, or while you're on your trip to work, or on your way to school. This might be while you're at the breakfast table, and you pray over your meal. This is going to be the start of a good morning. Start your morning with prayer. Start the day in prayer. God is waiting at His throne on those incense to be burned for Him. He's waiting at His throne for you to burn those incense of prayer before His altar as read in Revelation. Step number two again, part of the scheduling, is pray before every meal. The habit seems to be fading with the generation coming to pray before each and every meal. But make it a ritual, make it a habit of praying, whether you are at the table with your family, in a public place, whether it be the cafeteria and you're by yourself or with coworkers, while you eat breakfast or while you're in the car, picking up Chick-fil-A, pray over your meals before you eat it. Give thanks to the one who has provided you with this food. This is about three extra opportunities to pray right here. Maybe two if you skip breakfast, or maybe six if you're on one of those diet plans where you eat six times a day. But pray before you put that food in your mouth and give thanks to the one who has provided it for you. Not because it's good to do so, not because we've been raised to do so, but because we can be an example to others around us when we do this. When you are near your coworkers, when you are with your friends, when you are with unbelievers, when you pray, you make an example and you teach those who are around you how to pray. And we ask God to provide us, and He did just that. So He deserves the thanksgiving. Make sure that we thank Him for this. Step number three in the scheduling. Slip away at least once per day and talk to God. I like to think of this moment as stealing time from the world. Taking time from the world and giving it back to God. How often do we think about giving our time to God? Normally when we think about giving to God, we think about giving our means, giving up our lives. But how often do we think about giving up time, precious time for God? So each day, I want you to take some time, slip away, whether it be during your lunch break, whether it be a break at work. No matter what's happening, just slip away from what's going on in the world and talk to God. How often do we deliberately think about doing that? Giving this time and going to worship God. Make time during your break at work, while you're with kids settling down and watching TV, or while you're driving. Make an unpredictable point in the day to give your time talking to God. And then the last step in the scheduling portion, end your day in prayer. After a long, rough day at work, after a long, hard day on this earth, end each and every day thanking God, asking Him for help, asking Him for comfort, for peace, for wisdom in this time of trial. After a long, hard day, seek God. Tell Him about your day. Tell Him what's going on in your life. So tell God about all the challenges you've had that day. Tell God what's going on. Remember that He is the one waiting to listen for you. He's waiting there, listening, waiting for you to talk to Him. So on that car ride home, while you're passing time with the family, or before you even go to bed, I don't recommend doing it while you're laying there in bed, about to go to sleep. Normally you sort of slip into unconscious state and the prayer just sort of fades off. But fill God in on what's happening. He knows our thoughts, but He wants us to express them. The second part of this scheduling, or not of the scheduling, but of this strategy for prayer, is making it personal. So we have a schedule for how we're going to pray and when we're going to pray, but now we need to make this personal. We need to put this on a personal level. So step number five for this plan is give glory to God. Give glory to our Father. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Hallowed be Thy name. Give time to give God the glory. Prayer is not just about me and my needs. Prayer is not just about what I need from God, and I'm going to pray this and hope He provides it. Prayer is also for God. Prayer is for Him. giving Him glory, giving Him thanks for what He has done for us. Personal doesn't mean that it's just about me. Prayer is also personal to God. It is an offering. It is a fragrant aroma on the altar of incense before Him. So our words should reflect just that. So be creative, be descriptive, have adjective-filled words that describe who God is and what He has done. Be as descriptive as possible in the way that we give glory to Him. So throughout the day, address Him in unique and glorifying ways. You can pick things out of this word right here. Pick things from David. Pick things from Paul. Of great things to just pull out of Scriptures. You can start off with, "Dear Heavenly Father, the great Lord of all, my Creator, the Sustainer of life, the Giver of all good things." Be descriptive while glorifying God. Step number 6 in making it personal. Ask God to heal you when it hurts. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Let's read that real quick. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 6, correction, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And it says this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Be anxious for nothing. Ask God to heal you when it hurts, because He is there listening, waiting for you. Sometimes we need God's help. That's a little bit of an understatement. We need God's help all the time. Every step of the way, we need God. So let your request be made known to Him. Ask God for His aid. Ask, seek, and knock in prayer, and you're going to receive. Request for mercy when we sin. Request for a good attitude when we've had a rough day. Request for strength to fight, or to at least fight harder when times are tough. We as humans are designed to need a Father. We as humans are designed to need help from our Father, that is God. So ask Him for it. The same thing in a family here on earth. We need help from our Father. When Jesus says, "Be ye as children," be as children needing a Father. You need a Father. So ask Him for His help. Step number 7. Plead for Him to give you wisdom. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James 1, verses 5 through 8. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." So ask God for wisdom. Plead for Him to give you wisdom. Sometimes we don't have the wisdom that we need in order to go through life, in order to do things. We need God as our help. We really don't have the wisdom all the time to do things. We need God's wisdom. We need God to impart wisdom on us in order for us to go through life. So ask Him. Ask Him for that wisdom. Request wisdom, insight, and patience. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously. And this includes personal troubles. This includes relationship woes. This includes problems that you're having in your marriage, inside the family. Seek God for that wisdom. When life is getting heavy, when you feel that you're so burdened, ask God for wisdom. When you're making decisions at work, before you make a decision, ask God for wisdom on it. Ask Him for help before the decision is made. And it might just be a quick, simple prayer. A prayer with your eyes open in the flash of a moment. Father, help me. Give me wisdom. Talking to God does not have to be in the corner of your room with your eyes closed. It can be in an instant. Ask Him for wisdom in times of trouble. He is there waiting for you. So, we've got a schedule. And we've got making it personal. Not just for us, but also for God. Step number three, or part number three, is showing love for others. The most important part. Showing love for the ones that we care about. Pray for those who you love. Do you want those who are close to you, who you care about deeply, to be well, or to at least get well, or to get stronger, to do right? Talk to God about it. Talk to God about those that you love. Most often we tell the biggest lie as Christians, I'm praying for you. But let's actually do it. Those that we care about in this room, those that we care about in our families, in our lives, whoever it may be, pray for them. Pray for their hope. Pray for them to have strength, to have confidence. Pray for them to get better, whatever it may be. Pray for it. This takes discipline and prayer, though. In order for you to be able to pray these things, you've got to have your discipline. But it's going to be very beneficial for each and every one to pray for those you love. Not because their wellness is good for you, but because it's good for them. And that in and of itself brings joy to your heart. Step number two in showing love for others is pray with those who you love. Don't just pray for them, but pray with them. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Pray with those you love. Even outside of worship, there is something that is peacemaking and safe about praying. We've developed this internal feeling that when we pray, it's comforting. We have that internal feeling. When we pray with those that we love and who love the Lord, that feeling is all more greater. Holding hands at a devotional, family gatherings around the table. When we pray, we teach one another how to pray. Luke chapter 11, teach us to pray. So when we pray together, we're not only lifting each other up, but we're teaching each other how to pray. And when we pray, we find a support and confidence that we may not have found alone. Being alone is one of the hardest things to do. Trying to go through life alone is just not possible. It will not end well for those who try to get through life alone. They need companionship. And one of the great things that God has given us here on this earth, one of the most incredible things that God has given us, is a relationship. Our relationships. He's given you a family with parents who love you. And if you chose so, He gave you a wife or a husband. And if He willed, He gave you children. And then, Lord willing, grandchildren one day. God gives us relationships so that we can cope. But one of the greatest relationships that He gives us is the relationship with Him. A relationship with the people in this room. We are all one united family, and we are here for each other. When you think that you are alone, remember that you have this family here, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are here for you. So pray with those that you love. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Acts 4 verses 23 and 24. And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is Thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. They joined together in companionship and prayed together. They lifted up their voices together in a moment, in an instant, giving thanks to God. So pray with those that you love. And the last thing, which is the hardest thing in showing love for others, is pray for those who don't love you. Pray for the ones in the world who aren't Christians, the ones who see us here today and think of this as the aroma of death, who think that what we are teaching is foolishness. Pray for them. Pray for your enemies. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. You have heard that it was said to you, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Pray for those who don't love you. One of the greatest things that God's done for us is He's given us hope. Even when we were in sin, even when we were not right in His eyes, He gave us and created us with the ability to have hope. In Genesis chapter 1, He made us with a spirit. He made us in His likeness so that we could one day be like Him. We were given that opportunity. He extended that opportunity to us. So because of His loving kindness for us, who are sinners, who did not love Him to begin with, we had to learn to grow to love Him. We need to treat those who do not love us in the same way that He treated us. We need to pray for them, to give thanks and hope that one day they may turn in their ways. Unfortunately, we can't live our lives among only our family and our friends and our brethren. And the world is full of those who don't love God. And most of them don't like us either because of our love for God. They need God more than anyone in that instance. So pray to God, who is your Father, who has done all these great things, because they need your prayers. And Jesus has commanded us to do so. So pray that they learn to do better. Pray that they are humbled. And pray that you will be that good example, that bright and shining light. So, how's the plan? What do y'all think about the plan? Is it perfect? Is it good? Is it just okay? This plan, this strategy for prayer is flawless. And not because I just compiled all this together and this is the way that we need to pray. The results of this prayer plan, of this strategy for prayer, are guaranteed. Roughly 5 prayers a day, varying in length and content, but they include God, they include those you love, and they include yourself. Nobody's left out. Everybody's in the picture. When we pray like this, the results are guaranteed. And the results are not because it's worked for others, so it's going to work for you. The results is not because I put this together. The results come from Christ. This plan is perfect because it has been shown to us, it has been taught to us, and put on display by the one and the only, the perfect one, Jesus Christ. This is the same strategy for prayer that Christ used. Start your day with prayer. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 38. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. And in the early morning, while it was dark, he arose and went. This is Jesus. He went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the town nearby in order that I may preach there also. For that is what I came out for." Christ spent time, when he woke up, when he got out of bed, praying. Start your morning with prayer. He prepared them, this prayer early in the morning, prepared him to do the Father's work that was to be done later that day. When we begin our day with prayer, we are preparing our minds, we are preparing our spiritual minds for the day. Pray before your meals. Mark chapter 8, verse 6. Mark chapter 8 and verse 6. And he directed the multitude to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to his disciples to serve to them. And they served them to the multitude. So they gave thanks before they ate bread, even in a casual meal. But they also prayed before miraculous meals. And he also prayed before the Lord's Supper. No matter what, no matter the meal, Christ prayed before the meals. So pray before your meals. Slip away to pray during that busy schedule. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Luke 5, verses 15 through 16. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and the great multitudes were gathering to him and to be healed of their sickness. But he himself often slipped away to the wilderness and prayed. Take time during the rough, busy day to slip away and pray to God. Pray in the evening after a long day. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 46. Mark chapter 6, verse 35. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came up to him and began saying, "This place is desolate, and it is already quite late." And then down in verse 45. And immediately he went to the boat and go ahead of him to the others, to the side of Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the multitude away. And after bidding them farewell, he departed to the mountain to pray. So he slipped away from that busy schedule in order to get away from the long end of a day. While it was already quite late, Jesus slipped away. Give glory to God. when Jesus prayed, "Hallowed be thy name." He wasn't saying it just because it sounded fancy. He wasn't saying it just because it sounded pretty good right there. He gave true devotion, true glory to God the Father, because He deserved just that. So give Him the glory. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, and Thy Son may glorify Thee, even as Thou gavest Him authority over all mankind, that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. And this is the eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I glorify Thee on earth, having accomplished the work which Thou hast given me to do." Christ gave God the glory. And then verses 11 and verse 25. "And I am no more in the world, yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep them in Thy name, the name which Thou hast given me, and they may be one even as we are." Verse 25. "O righteous Father, although the world has not known Thee, yet I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou didst send Me." He gave glory to God. Pray for help. Pray for help in a time of need. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're all very familiar with this passage. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed." Christ was at a time of grief at this point. Verse 38. "Then He said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.'" Verse 39. "And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as Thou will.'" When Jesus was at a time where He was struggling, where He needed help, where He needed comfort and strength, He went to His Father. When He knew that He was about to die, He went to His Father. When He was in a time of need, He prayed to God. Pray for wisdom. Christ also prayed for wisdom. Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Luke 6, 11 through 16. "But they themselves were filled with rage and disgust together what they might do to Jesus. And it was at that time He went off to the mountain to pray, and He spoke the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, He called His disciples to Him and chose 12 of them, whom He also named apostles. Simon, whom He was also named Peter, and Andrew and his brother, and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas and James and the sons of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. And He descended with them and stood on a level place. And there was a great multitude of His disciples and a great throng of His people from all Judea and Jerusalem and all the coastal regions of Tyre and Sidon." So when Christ went to choose the 12, He prayed to God. When we need wisdom in decisions that we have to make, look to God. Pray for the people that you love. John chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. John 17, 9 through 11. John chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. I ask on their behalf, I do not ask on the behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them, and I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given to me, they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Pray for those who you love. Look at verses 15 through 17. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. And thou didst send me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Christ prayed for those that he loved, for strength, for hope. Christ prayed for those that he loved. Pray with those who you love. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 32, and we're not going to take time to read that one. But Christ often prayed with those that he loved. But more importantly, the last prayer that Christ prayed, he prayed for those who did not love him. The last words of Christ on the cross before he was crucified, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray for those who do not love you. One of Jesus' final prayers, and his only concern was for those who did not love him. His prayer was for the concern of those who did not love him, who did not love God. They did not know what they had done. So if you take these steps of Christ in prayer, your prayers are going to be successful. Not because I compiled all this together, but because this is the way Christ prayed. This is the way that Christ prayed his prayers. And if it's good enough for him, then it's good enough for me. And if Jesus needed it, I confess that I can't live without it. If Jesus needed prayer in his life, everyone in this room needs a prayer life. A living, daily, involved, life-giving, burden-lifting prayer life in order to increase your faith. We can do anything today in order to help you have a more spiritual life, to grow in your faith, to grow in your knowledge. Whether you need the prayers of the members here for us to pray with you, whether you need prayers for health and for strength, come to us. We implore you. Christ implores you. Let us pray with you. Let us help you. If there's anything that we can do today to help you become closer to God, please stand while we sing.